reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 18, Moses reminds Israel and us that it is God who sustains our life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Reading then from Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning at verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you, to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say it in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In Philippians 4, 6 through 13, Paul delivers a message of joy from a prison cell. His joy in such circumstances comes from a firm understanding of God's purpose for his life and his belief that I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Reading from verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. In Luke 17, 11 through 19, we learn that the blessings of God are more than wealth or health. Reading from Luke 17 at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson, and I would like to begin with referencing this phrase, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" This is our text. During this fall, particularly the last few weeks, I made a point to be studying the subject of thanksgiving. And I have to confess, I learned a lot that even after 35 years in the ministry, I didn't know. Beginning with this point, in the Old Testament, there is no word for thanksgiving. I know your English Bibles don't indicate that. But when you really explore the meaning of the word that is translated thanksgiving in the Old Testament, it actually has a far different meaning than what we usually think of as thanksgiving. The word thanks in English actually is very closely to the word think. You know, it's only one letter difference. Think. That's come because they come from the same ancient word. In English, you can be thankful and not really tell anybody. It can just be an attitude in your heart, something you feel. The Old Testament doesn't know anything of that. Another interesting thing about the Old Testament is that even in your English Bibles, the word that's translated thanksgiving is never expressed between one human being and another. That's not what you did in the Old Testament. If somebody did something nice for you in the Old Testament, you didn't say, "Thank you very much." You said, "Bless you." The only time that English word thanksgiving is used in the Old Testament is not one human being addressing another, but it's in a human being addressing God. And the word isn't really like our thank you. In fact, in many contexts, it's not even translated thank you, it's translated confess. When you were confessing your sins, it was the same word that you use to thank God with, at least in the English translations. One form of the word literally meant to extend out your hands. When you comb the whole Old Testament and look at the usage of the word, what it seems to mean is that you publicly, accent on the word public, acknowledge before people what God has done for you. You confess the way that you have been blessed. It's not about gratitude. It's not about thankfulness. It's about confession. Telling others what God has done for you. And after learning that, when I was getting ready for tonight and came to this text, which I've preached on for probably 35 different Thanksgivings, I saw it in a whole new light. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, and this is interesting as well, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master. Only Luke in all of the New Testament uses that particular word. And in all the other places in Luke where that word translated master is used, it's always from the voices of the apostles themselves who confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. These men calling out to Jesus saw him as more than a man. They believed that he was God's vehicle on earth, for giving of them something that no man could give. They were lepers, they were outcasts, and the marks of their leprosy was apparent to all. There were people without hope. When they saw Jesus, they knew that in him was their only hope, and that God himself was working through him. And they treat him as their Lord and Master. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Kind of fascinating. He doesn't heal them right away. He basically says, go get examined and trust me. And by the time you get there, this disease that has afflicted you, which is incapable of being cured, will be cured. And they have such faith and trust in him that they immediately go. It's not till they're on their way that the healing takes place. You can imagine them looking at themselves, and all of a sudden, the marks of their disease are gone.
What joy must have filled all their hearts. Family that they had not seen maybe in weeks, months, or even years could be reunited with them. Life was restored. If someone had done that for you, what would you have done? Would you have just continued on your way? Well, that's what 9 of them do. But one turns around. And here's where that understanding of the Old Testament comes into play. I've always put the accent on the Samaritan's actions. Then he comes back and says, "Well, thank you, Jesus." But that's not what this text is about. Oh, yes, he does kneel at the feet of Jesus and thank him. But that's not what he is commended for. Listen carefully to the words as I read them again. "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" It's not about simply saying, "Thank you, Jesus." It's about announcing to the world what God has done for you. And only the Samaritan does that. Only he sees that what happened to him is by the hand of God, and not only sees it, but acknowledges it, confesses it, shouts it to the world. And my friends, that's what faith does. Faith sees what God has done in our lives and cannot contain itself, but acknowledges what God has done everywhere and anywhere it can. That's what the Samaritan is commended for. It's not about just a warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts. The Old Testament actually knows nothing of that. There is no word in the Old Testament for thank you. What God calls upon us to do is not to just simply be grateful to Him, but to acknowledge Him and praise Him. And not just in the privacy of our hearts or even in our homes. Another thing I learned as I was writing Bible studies and devotions was something in the Old Testament called the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Granted, that's not the right word. But the sacrifice of thanksgiving, as we read about it in English Bibles, was not just coming to God and saying, "Oh, thank you, God." It was an actual sacrifice. But it's quite unique amongst all the sacrifices that God lined out for the people of Israel.
The one thing that was really different about that sacrifice was that the people of God who made that sacrifice were part of it. With all our sacrifices that you made in the Old Testament, you'd bring something before the Lord, some animal, it would be killed and it would be placed on the altar and burned up completely. Granted, for some of them, the priest might get a portion of that, basically providing a living for those who worked in the temple. But the people who brought the offerings received nothing. Not so the sacrifice of thanksgiving. When you brought the sacrifice of thanksgiving, you actually not only brought an animal to be killed, but you brought other things as well. You brought unleavened bread. And not just one type, you had to bring three different types of unleavened bread. Some of it was burned up, some of it was given to the priest, but the rest you had to eat. You brought wine, and that was poured on the sacrifice. And what wasn't poured on the sacrifice was left to be consumed by the priest and the person who brought the sacrifice. And then there was the sacrifice himself. It could be a sheep, it could be a goat, could be a bull. But whatever kind of sacrifice you brought, after it was killed, you took all the stuff that we don't normally eat. You know, the fat, the intestines, the stomach, the heart, the liver. That you put on the altar. And that was burned up to God. The priest got a small portion of what was left, but then the rest of the animal was to be consumed by you. And here's the really interesting part. By the command of God, it all had to be eaten in a day. My wife bought a 25-pound turkey for tomorrow. I don't think we're going to be able to eat it all in a day, and we got 10 people. What do you do with a whole sheep or a whole goat or a whole bull, and you've got to eat all of it in one day? How many people do you have to invite? Anybody want to throw out a number? Bryce. Oh, no, it's got to be more than 10. 13? 100? Yeah, well, if you bring a bull, you're probably... You know what? I don't think even 100's going to do it for a bull. You're going to have a Thanksgiving feast of all Thanksgiving feasts. With wine and bread, not just one type of bread, three types of bread, all unleavened, of course. And you're going to be stuffing yourself all day, and you're going to sit around, and you're going to talk about what God did for you, the reason you brought this sacrifice, and you're going to share it with everybody. So that everybody knows how good God has been to you. And that's what we're doing tonight in a few minutes as we gather together. Do this to remember me. We have a feast. The Bible itself calls it a foretaste of the feast to come. God provided the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is the bread. There's the wine. But in, with, and under the bread and wine are the body and the blood of that sacrifice that was given for us. This is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It is that meal which Jesus provided for us, that we might remember all the blessings of God. And not just in our hearts or in our minds, but in our community. And that's what God wants us to do. To not just remember Him in our hearts or in our minds, but with our lips, with our public praise of His goodness to us. And greatest of all, His goodness to us in sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross, to pay for our sins, to give us life eternal. Let us then join in this sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let us be thankful to God, but not in the way that so many people are thankful today, being silent and just pondering God and His goodness in their hearts and thinking that somehow that is how God wanted to be remembered. No. God wants us to remember Him out loud. And it is the Samaritan who returned to Jesus, crying out loud the praises of God, to which Jesus said, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright, 2001. By Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice," was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.